This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast. I'm Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and this is my mentor and PGMLO assessor, Rich Mellon. Hello.
Hi, Darren.
Right, today we'll start with Rich's ramblings. We're going to do a little bit on report writing today, and then we're going to do some cautioning techniques. So, Rich's ramblings, what are you rambling about this week?
Well, I've recently been on the website of RefChat. And I haven't been on there for a long time, so I apologise to Ross.
Great website.
Yeah, it's a really...
Forum.
Yeah, we support them, they support us. Mm. And this whole thing about sharing is so good. And I do like the way Ross puts it across and the way they break down the sections. I can't remember the whole... It's just RefChat and you can open up an account. It doesn't cost you anything, just your time.
RefChat.co.uk, yeah. And there's always a lot of discussions on there. And we do, to be fair, we do work closely with RefChat. Ross is the guy that runs it, as Rich was saying. I think it's important to not get too consumed by what is said on a forum and not to take things personally.
No, exactly
right. Because a forum can throw you in the wrong direction at times, yeah. But it is a very, very good, it's a very good source of picking up bits of information. You may read something on a forum and you think, okay, I might try that.
Yeah.
It may not work for you, so
exactly,
come back and talk about
it. I think the point that you say about not taking it personally is very pertinent as well, because the written text is how you read it and how you interpret. Mm. It's not necessarily how the person actually wanted it to be read and understood.
It's like how many times have we sent a text message to friends or family that appears to the recipient as though it's quite short and quite cold and quite heartless, but it wasn't meant that way. It may be that you were in a hurry writing it.
Yeah.
And I've done it loads.
Yeah.
Or if you're... here's one. I put a kiss after all my text messages, doesn't matter who it's to.
I know. Thanks, right? Darren.
You're not the only one. You're not the chosen one. Oh. And I'm not the only one that does it, okay? But if I don't send a kiss or my partner doesn't send a kiss on the end of a text, straight away I think, right, something's up.
Well, I think my wife always puts a kiss because she loves me. I mean, is that not the case between us?
No, I think...
Oh, there's me. Oh, well. Hey, come on, we're rambling.
Yeah, we are rambling. That's what it's about. But, absolutely. If you're looking for... There's loads of forums out there, but we would thoroughly recommend refchat.co.uk because there's lots going on there. And it's simple. It's easy to navigate
as
well.
It's a nice site to work around and to look at all the things that are going on. So, and they're sharing experiences, which is what this is all about.
In fact, we should pick up some of our show prep from there, you know. So, any more ramblings going on, then let Rich know about it. Anything else you want to share with us, Rich?
Well, yeah, I should have already mentioned this, but I have forgotten, to be honest. And this is relating to changes for assistant referees. Mm-hmm. Have you seen anything about signals for assistant referees, in anything in particular that comes to mind?
I think the one that springs to mind, I think penalties.
Yeah.
The signal, flag across the chest.
Yeah, the signal that we use in England for a penalty kick is indicate the infringement, flag across the chest so the referee can see it and everybody else can see it. And that's what we've done ever since I can remember. Mm. There's never been anything different. But this season, it's been deemed that that is now ruled out. We are not expected to signal with the flag across the chest for a penalty kick. Okay. What happens, though, Dar? What are you going to be doing?
I haven't got a clue, Rich.
Shall I explain? I thought you might. Okay. What's expected?
I am a little rusty here, as you said in previous podcasts.
You're honest.
Exactly.
That's the most important thing there. Right. Okay. The flag across the chest is now not to be.
Obsolete.
Please stop using that signal. I know it might not happen immediately overnight because we've had these habits drilled into us many, many times, but it takes a little bit of thought about, I've seen a foul. Referee, where are you? Up goes the flag. Agitate the flag. And if the free kick is outside the penalty area, stay in line with where the free kick was, if you're involved. If you're making a decision of a penalty kick, and the infringement is inside, handball or trip, foul, something like that, then the agitation of the flag is as expected and your movement towards the corner flag is in lieu of the flag across the chest. That's if you're involved. If the referee is making the sole judgment of free kick, you stay outside the penalty area to agree in harmony with the referee's decision because you know that's right. Don't do any further movement. But if the referee has given a penalty kick, your movement down to the goal line is still expected. Okay. I have heard people talk about...
That could be quite confusing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have we had any instances?
I can't relate to any at the moment. I'm sure our listeners might be able to say, yeah, I've seen it happen and, or I've even done it. You know, if somebody has, then I'd like to hear about it because, you know, I'm all for learning about this because, like I say, we've all got to take this on board and we've all got to use it. So, you know, let's see how we develop with this because this is a slight change for us here in England. But it has been ruled out that we should not be using the flag across the chest for penalty kicks anymore.
Interesting times. Rich's ramblings. Let's move on. It's the Referees World podcast. Thanks very much for listening today. Let's do some stuff on report writing because one thing that you've always drilled into me is your off-field refereeing, okay, i.e. the paperwork side of it, is as important and if some cases more important at times because of the way you present yourself, because the information has to be done correctly and on time as well.
Yeah.
It's very, very important.
This is something that, because we're related to Somerset or associated with Somerset FA, it's not just exclusive to Somerset FA. I know it is an issue with all the county FAs across England, whereby they want the referees to have more information on their reports. They want the report to be ABC, accurate, brief, and clear. Mm. Now, accurate, brief, and clear are the three pieces of advice that we give you. So think about the incident, where it was, where you were, at the time of the game, like 50th minute, there was a foul challenge on the halfway line left side when the red number three blatantly kicked his opponent as he ran away from him. Now, blatantly kicked his opponent. That's the offence, violent conduct, okay? And so consequently, you've described where it is. You need to highlight the what's happened and the minute in which it happened. What about including the action that you took? I stopped play immediately, called the player across to me, inquired his name and dismissed him from the field of play and showed the red card. You've got to have all the ingredients in there. There are some dismissals that are a little bit more difficult than this, and than one I've explained. And I know there will be people out there saying, well, what if and what do I do if players get involved in mass confrontation? Mass confrontation is a debate on its own, so we're not going to cover that at this moment. But report writing has got to be ABC, accurate, brief and clear. So think about the incident, where it was, your position. You had a clear, unobstructed view, the minute in the game where it happened, the action you took, the action or the challenge that was involved by the player that you dismissed, and then what you did. Does that sort of come together for you, Dan?
Yeah, it sounds like it's come back round full circle, because when I first learned my trade as a referee, it was back in the days when you wrote it all out and you spent ages writing it with handwriting and all that kind of stuff. And then gradually things sort of changed a bit and it was all done sort of by clicking an Excel sheet and just putting a tick here and one thing
it.
And another.
That's it.
But now they're obviously bringing it around to the old-fashioned way of describing things.
It's describing it for the benefit of the disciplinary commission because they need to have all the facts in front of them. If there's going to be a challenge to reports. And I can't remember exactly what it is, and I know people are listening now and they can remember why a player can challenge sending off, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
I've got some cracking... I keep all my reports. A lot of referees don't do that, but I've kept all of mine.
But we
should read some out on air one day.
Oh, I'm not sure you'll be allowed to. Yeah. It could be censored here.
Yeah.
Or certificated. Certified maybe. Yeah. But the importance of report writing is highlighted again now because the sanctions that are being applied are the same all the way down the pyramid. Now, a player will get sent off for, let's say, denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. Now, depending on how the referee writes it, should be one game. Hopefully, it's not going to be any more than two, but it all depends on what's going on. And incidents that happen with severity or intensity, these need to be identified by accurate reporting, especially if a player is guilty of violent conduct, elbowing somebody in the face and things like that. So, you know, you've got to make it clear that the player deliberately elbowed the player in the face, intentionally made contact across the face, around the nose, with his right elbow, where it was, what was happening, your view, unobstructed, and report.
Just one final point on the reporting. And again, this is another topic that we could open up into another time. But would it be fair to say, based on what we've already discussed, where writing reports is concerned, that you may well be one of the best referees out on the field of play, and, you know, your marks may be very high. But if your reporting is not up to scratch, it could prevent you from going further up the scale.
It does affect your profile, yeah. Yeah, I mean, your profile as a referee on and off the field.
Reliability
of play,
comes into
of course,
action, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, yeah. You know, your profile is, you're always being judged as a referee. You walk down a high street and you may not think you're known in some cases. But if you referee, you know, for a few years now, you may not be known, or you think you're not known, but you can walk down the high street and there's somebody that recognises you. May not say anything to you, but they will remember why they
Or you're in the pub.
You. Oh, in
and
the
there'll
pub.
Be a group of lads there,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, your profile's always, you know, under scrutiny. So just keep it nice and tidy, accurate, brief and clear in your report writing. So it helps the county FA offices, because it's a bit embarrassing if you just write down, I sent off number 5 for violent conduct in the 5th minute. That's not enough. But I know those sort of reports have been sent in, and they've been sent back to the referee asking for more information. So if there is any body out there that wants a little bit of help on report writing, contact us, contact your local RDO. They'll be very, very pleased to help you. So don't just send them in, you know, ad hoc, hoping that it's going to stick.
Very quickly, before we move on to our next subject, can you recall off the top of your head writing a report and laughing out loud as you're writing it because of the situation? Is there one?
I'm not going to tell you the report, but I can remember enjoying writing it.
Oh, right, okay. When you say enjoying writing it, is that because of the...
I still laugh about it now. Yeah. I will tell you.
Tell me.
I won't tell you the teams, because that wouldn't be fair on the teams or the players listening, because, you know, they may say, oh, I remember him as well. I was doing a county cup match north of the county, so that's as much as you're going to get on location. Yeah. I went and done this game, and it was a communal changing room whereby there was 5 or 6 pitches in the same vicinity, and there was umpteen referees in the changing room. Done the game. During the game, I'd sent off a player, and the player was quite abusive towards me. I can actually remember only ever sending off 2 players for insulting, offensive, abusive language. And in those days, it was foul and abusive language. That's what they called it in law. And I clearly remember sending off this player who gave me a horrendous mouthful. And I thought, wow, this is it. And I felt the stomach churning, and I just knew my time had come, that I had to apply my first dismissal for that type of offence. And anyhow, got back to the, he walked past me and still blurting bits and pieces at me. And I made sure I included all the words in my report.
I know, it's when you read them back.
Oh, but when... And then what makes me laugh now is, and I still chuckle now, is I got back to the changing rooms, and I can't remember who the lads were in the changing room, the referee-wise, but they all said, how'd your game go, Rich? I said, yeah, fine, absolutely. You know, I said, yeah, I sent off so-and-so and so-and-so. What, you sent him off? I said, yeah. Oh, my God, they said. I said, why, what's wrong? Oh, he said he only got out of prison last week for GBH, and he went up the local British Legion and smashed the place up last night. And there I was on the Saturday, the day after, I'd sent him off.
No.
And as I left, they all shouted out, do you want tulips or Lucozade in hospital?
Oh,
and,
brilliant.
And I still laugh about that now.
That's funny.
Clearly remember that.
Yeah.
But everybody's got one of those things, you know. And I clearly remember that day when I left the changing room. Do you want tulips or Lucozade?
I'm gonna dig one out, actually, and bring it in. We'll read it.
Oh.
We might have to bring the bleep machine into action, but there
you
go.
Yeah, come on.
Right, okay, moving on. It's the Referees World podcast. Thanks very much for listening. If you're a new listener, hello, how are you? Got to say hello to Matt Collins, who's just tweeted, Referees World, lapsed ref here, training in October after listening to the podcast. Keep up the good work. Michael Poulin is following us now. Woollett Aquinet wants to know when the next one is coming out. Very soon. Lewis Ryan, hello to you. Hello as well to the, let's have a look, to Marinos and to Tom Vanderpeer. Hello.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that name, Tom, on there. So thanks for listening to us, Tom, and, mm-hmm. and following us. Can I ask a question whilst we're on air and talking to our friends?
Go on, then.
Would somebody from Stockport RA like to contact us? Because I hear so many good things about Stockport RA. I want to know what your secrets are, and we're going to...
When you say good things, what like?
Oh, the Stockport RA have got lots of good initiatives going, and I can't remember all of them off the top of my head, but I keep seeing tweets about Stockport RA are really good at doing this, are really good at doing that. So they're supporting their referees' development. And all I'm going to try and do is, if Stockport RA are doing it, I know... Portsmouth RA are doing it. Mm. I know so many different RAs are trying to support the referee. Now, if we can start something going
yeah,
on
no,
here,
that'd be great.
Share a little bit of
yeah.
news as regards referee, referee support. Let's see if we can share that around, around the globe. Maybe
yeah,
that might be
not?
As good as that.
Why
so
not?
Stockport RA, if you're listening, lads, someone send us an email, send us a text, send us something so we can sort of get in contact and then start sharing some of your top secrets.
Cool. It's the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. Final bit of conversation in this particular episode. Let's do cautioning techniques. Which will be quite fun because we're having to describe it as we do it because this is audio and not television.
Yeah. So we're going to try and create a visual image here for you listeners.
Right, okay.
Darren's going to do the cautioning technique, and I also want a description so that everybody can get a little bit more composed about things that appear to be what regarded as straight, normal issues for referees.
Mm-hmm.
But some of our colleagues, you weren't born as a referee. You weren't born with a yellow card in your hand, despite what people might make fun of. So let's try and sort of go through all the things that we would consider when you're cautioning. So Darren. Darren's going to stand.
Okay, I'm gonna stand.
Stand.
Right.
Okay. Right. First thing is then let's consider.
What have I blown the whistle for?
Okay, but what signs are we looking for from the referee as regards his profile? What are you talking
Body
about?
Body language, I would say.
Oh, right. Okay. You look very sloppy standing there at the moment. Don't
oh, right. Okay.
Can't he stand? Oh, that's better.
Chest out.
That's better.
Stand up straight.
Feet couple of your feet are about 6-8 inches apart, so you look comfortable. You look fairly upright.
Mm-hmm.
Stance. What about anything else you're doing?
Okay,
arms.
I'm just
what are you doing with your arms?
Right. I'm just trying to get into my zone of how I would deal with a cautionable offence. So, first thing I would probably be doing is turn my back, turn myself around to a position where I can still keep an eye on the rest of the field of play.
Yeah.
So perhaps it may well be that I have my back to the sidelines and I'm walking
to the touchline. Yeah,
yeah,
don't mind that.
And I would have the player, and I would be saying to the player, using my arms, come towards me as I'm walking back.
Gesturing.
Come towards me. Okay.
Using a gesture.
So I'm gesturing.
What if he doesn't want to come towards you?
Then I would say, okay, just stand over this side of me.
Yeah. Let's go at a 45-degree angle type of thing, yeah? Meet him halfway.
Yeah.
Yeah? Rather than demand that he comes to you and stands toe-to-toe.
Okay.
Yeah? So think about how you get players to cooperate. Mm-hmm. They already know that they are likely to receive a sanction. What they don't know is what colour it's going to be.
Do you know, so, I can honestly say I don't actually ever recall somebody refusing to come to me when I've been sort of getting myself in that position. That's quite an interesting one, actually.
That's a credit to you, then, because I think you've been selective on your cautioning, and people have realised they know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you've not been fussy, is that fair to say?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
I like that sort of approach, yeah. Not being too fussy.
Now, at this point, the chances are there would probably be one or two other players coming towards me at the same time.
Okay. What do you do there?
At that point, I would probably stop what I'm doing and put my hand out as if to say, stop, don't come any further, and make it audible, stay away from me, please.
Yeah, nice gesture that as well.
Okay, so
You're actually doing the motions now as you talk about it. That is really good practice. So all I want to say to anybody listening, get there, stand in front of the mirror at home, very quietly, have your cards in your pocket, and go through your own cautioning technique. And here I am, I can be your mirror, because you're actually describing what you're doing, and you're actually doing it as well.
Mirror? I'm not that ugly.
mirror on the wall. Mirror on the wall.
So, yeah, so I've now got the player in my comfort zone. I would call it my comfort zone, where I'm comfortable to talk to the player and say, right, okay, I have spoken to you before. I'm not happy with that challenge. And I'm now going to caution you for whatever.
You've explained to him that you're not happy. Yeah. Your body language needs to give off a few vibes as well, about not being happy. You can't look too casual. You can't look a little bit sloppy when you're giving out that type of information.
Try and use your arms as much as possible, because you want people on the other side of the field of play to see what's going on. Let's say, for example, you're trying to say to this player, right, that is it. I've had enough. So you sort of do that with your arms. I've had enough. No more. Okay. Simple as that. And then maybe I wouldn't say point and do the old headmaster thing.
Good stuff.
But cut the grass. That is it. No more. Any more of this.
Flat of the hand rather than point. Flat of the hand.
Yeah. Or,
you've done too much.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. What about a player who you spoke to 15 minutes ago? Mm-hmm. How would you sort of suggest to him that you're cautioning him and tell everybody for persistent? How would you do about that?
I would say I sort of point to an area of the field of play and say, you know, I told you there. I also told you there. Now that's it.
That's it. And you've just cut the grass.
Or perhaps what I'll do is do the counting thing on your hand so people can see you counting.
You did say though, Dad, about being a schoolmaster. You don't want to be one of those.
Good point. Yeah, okay, good point.
So I think you've done enough by gesturing with your hands into different directions.
Pointing to where the previous...
Gesturing towards the other directions where he's committed other things. So here we are. We've now got to the position whereby your body language is quite tight. Mm-hmm. It's quite, not officious looking, but it's quite rigid.
It's firm.
It's firm, I'm not willing to accept that challenge in the game today. And you're now going to ask...
I'm going to ask for the player's name.
Yeah.
I'll ask for your full name, please. I'll write down the full name. Or
can I full name includes Christian name?
Your Christian name.
Yeah, but what about R. Mellon? Is that enough?
No, not for me.
Right, what do you want?
I want your full name. I want your Christian name and your surname. Because I would have had it written down in my book anyway.
Okay.
So I just want to...
Could be Robert, Richard, Raymond. Could be brothers. Could be twins playing.
Right, okay.
That's why you want Richard,
both names.
Richard Mellon.
Yeah, so
Richard Mellon, not Robert.
Yeah.
You know, not
and then
just
I would
R.
Ask,
Mellon.
I would ask the player to turn around so I can see what number it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'd just tick off the number, make sure it all corresponds. That way, again, people on the other side of the ground can see that I've looking at his number and they know what's coming, kind of thing.
And asking the player to show you his number could also be telling your colleagues, if you've got assistant referees, the same number as well. So that communicates to them the number that you're cautioning. So, you know, there are little things to follow here as regards cautioning technique. So posture, demeanour, manner, your manner itself.
I wouldn't be abusive with it. I mean, sometimes you can actually have a bit of a laugh with a player. You know, they might do, and they might come up to you and say, all right, ref, I know what's coming, kind of thing. You know, you just say, what'd you do that for, you buffoon, or something like that. And you've got that bit of banter going on. But it depends on the nature of the game, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does.
And the player. It may be a player that you've bumped into various times before. And you've got a bit of rapport, because obviously referees do have that rapport with certain players, don't they?
Yeah. And then as you're asking his name, you're putting it in the book, you're confirming
this,
it. Okay. Before he disappears.
And before he disappears, I'll say, just to recap, I'm putting you in the book on cautioning you for that foul tackle or persistent infringement of the law, etc. And then I will just, as I'm doing it, hold it high, and I would probably, I'd have my hand...
Hold it high? Hold?
Hold the yellow card above my head,
yep.
And I would have my arm ruffling up by my ear so it's clearly visible, and I'll make it clearly visible. Not this sort of, you get some feeble ones where they sort of just, the arm is at 90 degrees.
Like a flash card.
Yeah, and nobody can see what's going on. Be confident with it.
It's communicating to everybody watching and to the other players as well that you've cautioned the player.
Can I sit down now?
Yeah, you can sit down now, Dan. Yeah, he's been stood up for a while. Well done, Dan. So there we go. It's cautioning technique with nice body language, a nice manner.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be aggressive with them, because that may not get the cooperation that you would like. But you've got to be assertive. You've got to be firm. And your body language has got to give off the vibes that you're not happy. So, you know, how you approach the player is important as well. Get his cooperation, inquire his name, record the name accurately, tick it off if that's what you do with your team sheet in your book. Advise him he's being cautioned and warn him as regards his further misconduct. If he does any further misconduct that requires a second sanction, you will apply the laws of the game and he will be dismissed from the game.
And there you go. Some cautioning techniques. If you know of any other kind of techniques, though, then we're always open to your suggestions, because some of them don't always go according to plan, as we have all known over our refereeing careers. And if you're new to it, at some point you will find it a bit of a challenge.
It's about sharing.
Yeah.
About sharing.
And if you've got stuff to share with us, then please do. Get in touch with us on Twitter at RefereesWorld or through the website refereesworld.co.uk. Thanks very much for listening to this episode, and we'll see you again soon.
The download is complete.